Blog Talk Radio.
The hits just keep on coming.
Let's start the show. You know what time it is.
What up? It's the Powerhouse Squad. The Powerhouse Squad.
The Powerhouse Squad. The Powerhouse Squad is in the house. Where's Tone Robbins?
Live and direct, man.
Kufia Juarez.
Video. I am Joseph Cody.
And brother Al.
Hey, what's up?
You know, it's not just the wisdom. It's the basis of understanding of the subject. The newest member to the Powerhouse Squad.
Sophia Alexander.
All right. It's definitely in effect. We are here. We are live. The Powerhouse Squad is in effect. We are definitely in effect. So, as I stated last week, we are the Powerhouse Squad. So, everybody in the Powerhouse Squad, sound off. Brother Kofi, are you in the house?
Yeah, what's up? I'm here.
All right. Brother Tone, are you in the house? All right. Sister Sylvia, are you in the house?
Hey, everybody. I'm in the house.
All right. The Power Squad is in the house in effect. Now, listen up, everybody. I wanted to give you some good news. First off, to start off before we get into the subject today, we're going to start off with some good news. The first thing we're going to get into is to let you know NSF Radio is alive and well. Thanks to me, some negotiations with my big sister. She allowed me to give me a little loan until the PPE loan kick in. And we got the app, okay? So everybody out there, download the NSF Radio app. You can listen to the Powerhouse Squad anytime of the day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are live in effect. And guess what? We even put a special feature for all your fans. Let's say you're a Kofi Speaks fan, and, you know, you like somebody that thinks the same way you do. You know what I'm saying? So guess what? We got a dating app on there. So guess what? You go in there, and guess what? You can meet that special someone on there on NSF Radio. All right? So we also got some other news for you. And just with that being in, we're going to go into the breaking news. You know what time it is. Here we go.
Hey, brother, how are you there?
All right. Breaking news. We wanted to let you know that we wanted to sit down with you and say thank you very much for everybody that's been supporting us and it's going on out here. We want to give a little bit of moment of silence. We've heard about what's going on with out there and with the Asian community, but we also just heard about the mass shooting that's happened, which I believe was 6 dead in Colorado. We want to make sure you know people that you understand we respect those lives lost because we do not want anybody to be harmed or killed or anything like that. But with that being said, we want to be able to say, reach out to you and say, listen, we are in the works and the talks are trying to talk to the chief of police about Boulder, Colorado, as well as police officers in Georgia and Atlanta. And we would like to extend our open invitation to come on the Power Squad and talk to us about these trying times in the departments. We are here to help anybody that's going through some trying times or issues. With that being said, I just want to say everybody out there, you know, it's been hard. Businesses are going through a lot of stress. People are going through a lot of stress right now, whether it's finance or maintaining just somewhat of a normalcy out there. Some might say this is the time of revelation. Some say this is the time of the great Jannah, you know, and this is the time where the rapture comes around us. And some might just say this is the end of days and the start of a new beginning. I just want to be humbly say this humbly, to everybody.
Say this to everybody.
And to everybody out there, thank you, and I appreciate you all for your support. Now, with that being said, I believe, Brother Tone, you were about to say something. I just caught it at the end.
Oh, man, I was just trying to get my microphone good over here, man. I was I was chiming
Yay.
In. But I couldn't hear anything initially.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I had a switch today. They just deconnected the Skype feature on here. So there's no more Skyping
okay.
and anything like that. You can't do Skype anymore. They upgraded, this whole system's been upgraded to, so basically everything. But we wanted to let you know that, you know, we appreciate y'all be out here supporting us, and we appreciate everyone that comes in here, the whole squad appreciates you. And, you know, I'm going to say this, and I'm a real talk brother, so I'm going to be like this. Y'all are my family. You know what I'm saying? It might be just pictures and maybe sometimes texting, but you're all my family, and I really appreciate y'all. So I say that with my humble heart, and I love y'all. So thank you and everybody for that. Now let's get down to this Powerhouse Squad. We're finally talking about part two of best ways to invest your stimulus check.
We're moving on. Stimulus talk is done, man. I mean, at this point, you know, either you got it or you don't. You got a check or you don't, man. We talking about, you know what I'm saying, excelling beyond being a product of your environment and where you was raised, man, because that's really the most important thing right now, man. I mean, like, people getting money, people ain't getting money. I mean, I think if you're not getting money, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to bust any hearts, but you ain't looking hard enough because it's too much work out here in these streets. You know, the streets are paved with milk and honey, as they say, in America. And, I mean, I'm not trying to be facetious, man. At the end of the day, it's just so many different opportunities nowadays. You can 1099 yourself. You can create your own businesses. It's just so many other ways. And those are the things that I want to focus on right now. And one crazy thing that came to me the other day, like, this is an epiphany that I had. Oh, man. I'm just noticing, like, so many people are just so fragile now mentally, you know what I mean? And I'm not really trying to straddle that line of mental illness, but, you know, I'm reading commentary the other day and seeing how a musician said that she got PTSD from an interview of someone criticizing her work and calling it basic. And I was just like, wow, man. We just living in such different times nowadays, you know, where in the past, you know, if someone criticized your art, you would come back harder. You would try to prove to them, you know, that you are a worthy talent, man. And here we are, man. Like I say, product of your environment. Coming up, like, we had this bar. We had this invisible bar in every neighborhood, and it varies. And I know this for a fact because, like, I talk to my wife, and we talk about different things, and she just looks at me sometimes, and she just, like, man, y'all was doing things different in y'all neighborhood, man, because, you know, when we were coming up, we wasn't even thinking like that. We wasn't even trying to go beyond a certain point, you know, albeit, and I hate to emphasize these negative points first, but it is what it is, you know what I mean? She's from the Baltimore area, so drug dealing was top of the food chain for a lot of these young guys. You know what I mean? Trying to get out there and be the corner boy, the next dope boy, or whatever the case may be. And again, like I said, these are imaginary ceilings that we put on ourselves. And you know, these are some of the things that are still impacting our communities now. And this is the stuff that I want to talk about, man, trying to excel beyond this point and motivate people, motivate our children, motivate our nephews, nieces, kids in the neighborhood. Brother Kofi, I know you are an advocate that's always working with youngsters and education platforms and things of that nature, man. And I definitely want you to share, you know, some of your viewpoints in regards to what you're seeing in today's time. But I want to hit you at this point though, Brother Alpha. Check this out, right? I want you to answer this question humbly and honestly. When was the last time paid attention to cartoons and actually saw a strong, muscle, you know, masculine male cartoon.
Okay.
So see what was on the fritz, my brother.
Well,
you're
the closest...
You're getting feedback.
Okay, now, all right. Okay, the closest for me would be, Bishop from X-Men. That, and he only had, like, maybe two shots in the whole broadcast of X-Men. and the thing is about that, he was from the future coming back. And then
right.
They try to keep him in, but somehow they faded him out. And that was the most masculine because, I mean, yeah, you could say Static Shock, but that wasn't masculine. Right? That was a young little boy. And then
Okay. Okay. Hey, Brother Kofi, what about you? I know you stay away from TV, but, you know, if you follow comics, what's the most masculine, you know, male, strong, masculine male comic that you can recall in recent years?
I mean, in all honesty, I don't really look at too many of them as such, because even if they are quote-unquote masters or muscles, they usually have some kind of other, you know, like Greco-Roman type stuff or romantic type stuff going on to where it's not really such. But I guess if I were to say somebody like the most one, you know, it's like hyper-masculine, but I guess the most one that most people would probably look at and think about is probably somebody like the Hulk or somebody like that.
Okay, and Sister Sophia, if any come to mind.
Actually, he said what I was going to say. I immediately thought of the Hulk. So the Hulk, and then maybe some of the anime, I guess the Japanese cartoons. Some of them are a little bit masculine. They have those muscles, and they either blow up into some type of, I don't know. I watched a little bit of that, but not too much. So those two.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I'm starting at that point. Hey, brother Alfred, if you can mute your mic, because your mic is good. I think it's giving the most feedback. I believe on my end. I'm gonna turn my headset. There we go. We clear now. Yeah, but I was asking this because I'm just sitting here thinking, and I'm like, man, you know how much influence cartoon was back in the days, aside from you know, our everyday real life people that we interact with on a day-to-day basis. And I'm just noticing something that they emasculated even in art and film and entertainment, which has such an influence on children nowadays. They dumbed it down. They watered it down to everything soft starts at the infancy stage of the children's lives. And since a lot of kids are being raised on autopilots, you know, for the most part, we're in a program. You know, and if people don't want to believe that, I mean, they're living in a fantasy world, because, I mean, you're in a situation now where you got to get your kids into some little early child development program so that you can get back to work, make money, and your kids spend more time outside of the home and is influenced by someone else more than you. And again, all of this is in the psyche, man. I mean, if you start at the youngest stage, when we say being a product of our environment, you know, if all our kids are seeing, I'm talking about the black males right now, more specifically, I'm a black man, and I'm seeing some things in our communities, our neighborhoods, that is, you know, some people want to blame it on the music, but I think it goes beyond the music. I mean, it goes with what you're given to play with. I was playing with He-Man, G.I. Joes, things of those nature, and I understand, Brother Kofi, when you say, you know, romanticizing, you mention that frequently as far as Greco-Roman, romanticizing with the Romans and Greeks philosophy and things of that nature. It's America, man. So we're going to get a lot of that influence at the end of the day. I mean, it's crazy how so many Africans, West Indian, indigenous influence that's here, but none of our ideas can grow beyond very, very cult-like followings at the most part. You know, they don't go to a mass media status to the point to where they wind up becoming a global type, iconic type situation when we do create and we try to keep it as black owned or certain things like that, because albeit they say, you know, and I got to be blunt, you know, the Jewish people that run the entertainment industry don't really fund a lot of those projects, and or we just can't get enough support within our own communities to expand and make those things as iconic as quote unquote, you know, all of the other things, you know, like the Greeks, the Romans type, whatever, or any of the Americanized, you know, global icons that have come about. And so I'm saying this to say, like, we have to really bear down, man. And I hope that, you know, as we are building wealth, which so many of us are, amassing wealth in various type ways. And that's why I say I just want to go beyond the stimulus at this point, because I kind of like feel like we're running that into the ground and just focus on another aspect of just recapturing our own people, our children, for the most part, and just trying to put the right things into them at a younger age so that they can look beyond the normal ceiling. Because like when I say when I was coming up, the bar was like this. It was pretty much you go to high school, and for those that had no pathway of going to post-secondary education or college, we were looking at, you know, being a possible going to the military, you know, looking up and maybe finding our way back and becoming a cop, which was cool back in the days. You know what I mean? A lot of that stuff is passe at this point, but I mean, I definitely know a lot of black young men that wanted to be cops. Other parts of it was being a sanitation engineer, aka the garbage man, a city employee to some capacity. And again, these are invisible ceilings that were put over us. You know what I'm saying? In the worst case scenario, if you was that great athlete, that dominating athlete that just didn't work out for you scholarship wise, most of those guys are in the warehouses of Amazon or your major grocery store, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, or if not, you know, you went to that street corner and you gave it a shot and saw how that life worked out until, you know, you were taught a lesson by the law, or you just woke up and realized that, you know, it's nonsense for you to kind of sell drugs to your own people. So, you know, like I said, going to the next level at this stage, man, are we teaching our children, man? Are we giving them foundational structure now to help them realize that they can be more without having to rely upon the talent aspect of what most minorities feel that they have to utilize and lean on the most in order to be considered a success in America? You know, and I was trying to find that word, you know, paganism, as I was thinking about all of the other sayings that we were talking about earlier. But are they looking beyond, you know, having a great voice, utilizing their beauty or any physical attributes to become a entertainer by way of sports at this point? Because I don't think we're seeing this enough. I don't think we're pushing it enough where we're advocating to children, you know, to focus on finances now, you know, even in our own homes. As we're acquiring it, are we teaching that throughout? Is it being passed on? I know Brother Kofi said, you know, he found out some things about his father in regards to being a successful business person or a businessman in general a few shows back. But are we teaching is that being passed down to our kids now where they know their worth coming out the gate so that they don't have to buy into the program, quote unquote, the American program, the American dream, quote unquote, in the way that it's given to them. Or as, again, I love to reference Brother Kofi because he's imparted some things into me that made me open my eyes and question some of my thoughts, question some of my philosophies. But, you know,
wow.
Is that your standard? Are you setting your standard to the program standard at this point in the way that America is designed and set up? And are you trying to make sure that your children don't become the next, clones in the cycle, in the cog that continues to push the wheel? Or are you making sure that they are raised to be thinkers, you know, independent mm-hmm. thinkers, understanding, having a set philosophy that goes beyond whatever textbook can be given to them in a public forum? In most instances that we pretty much got indoctrinated into, you know, I consider myself second generation because, you know, at the standpoint, your parent being raised in the 50s or 60s or 70s, you know, my mom was raised in the 60s, so I'm born in the 70s. So I really feel like I'm, you know, second generation from segregation. And kind of trying to water things down in America. So at the end of the day, a lot of us didn't get it right. A lot of us fell victim to being indoctrinated into a system that we have to now deprogram ourselves or unlearn a lot of things that we thought was the right way of doing things, you know, being passive-aggressive, being accepting of a lot of other people's cultural beliefs and having them infringe upon our beliefs and never really finding our true selves. And, you know, that's something that I want to touch on today. And I'm gonna open it up right now, you know, in regards to what I've expounded upon. Any thoughts from you, Sister Sophia?
Yes, I love this topic because, you know, I wish that my parents owned businesses growing up because I definitely would be different now because I am the one that's trying to figure it out, you know, this the entrepreneurial world. And so, like, I was taught, I think I mentioned on one of the other shows that my dad always had great work ethic, even at home. His character was all about doing everything 100%. So what I knew was to go get a job and mm-hmm. give my all, you know, do it 100%. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's why I was able to progress as fast as I did in one of the top multi-residential companies in California so fast. And I was mm-hmm. one of the probably it was no more than 3 to 5 black people in positions of authority, but I made my way up there. But if you narrow it down to Los Angeles, I was probably the only full black person in a position of authority. Everybody else was on the entry-level position. And that was because mm-hmm. of the work ethic my father taught us, that, hey, whatever you do, you're going to do it wholeheartedly, no matter if you're washing a dish, you're sweeping, you're mopping, you know, like cleaning up the house. That's what he's always, wake up, clean up the house. Don't vacuum like that. Don't you see?
Yeah,
that?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And so
that's,
I think.
And that's the key thing.
Wish,
that's the key thing, what you're saying.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, yeah, I was just saying that's one of the key things that we were taught, you know what I'm saying, as far as like being indoctrinated, which is work our way up from the bottom, you know what I'm saying, and just having just such a strong work ethic in order to push industry and to push businesses for other people. But
yeah.
often we
yeah.
didn't do that for ourselves. And one other point that I just want to make before, you know, I'll let you go ahead and give us your perspective. But, like, it's a key thing to think about. Like, 2019 results is saying here, you know, in this part of this indoctrination, over the last 15 years, and I was looking at how blacks have fared in post-secondary education in college, is saying that there's been an improvement for black males in regards to the college graduation rate, which has gone from 28% to 35% as of 2019, over their 15-year search. And women, you know, black women, 46%. So it's almost like, you know, almost a 50% chance of a woman graduating if she signs up to go to college, which definitely 15% better than men as a whole. But again, we're still buying into their system.
Right. I agree. I agree with all of that. And that's kind of, let me go back to what I was saying about the corporate industry, because even, you know, me being a black woman in corporate, like you said, we're pushing, you know, who are we working for? What is it that we're pushing or, you know, striving for when we're working for the other people? Because guess what? During my time with corporate and with this particular company, guess what? I was well overqualified versus people that beat me out years that were not black and didn't have a clue what they were doing. The things that they asked questions about people, guess what happened? A Caucasian guy was promoted over me. I had a higher position than him at the time. He got promoted, but guess who he was calling to get the information from? In his new promoted position, me. And now he has a higher position than me. So I think, like, my question is, like, why do we do this? Why, you know, as black people, why can't we teach our children differently? So guess what I do right now? I tell my children, you have a choice. It's up to you. You can work for yourself, do what you want to do, start now. What is it that you're passionate about? Learn that, and we can figure it out. I will help you. Because what, you know, it's good that, you know, people like us, the black community, I think we need to support each other, believe in each other's dreams, help us get to where we need to be as a community. Because when we go do it for these other people, I'm not racist in no way, but guess what? It's going to, the struggle more than likely will be harder because of your race. And you're going to have to do more turn black backflips, cartwheels, do a Chinese split when all the other people are, they don't know lickety split. They don't know anything, but guess what? That's what I did. I absolutely did. I turned those cartwheels. I did a Chinese split where somebody over here gets the position, they ain't dead jack. So I think now I teach my two girls, I teach them, I talk about it now because I didn't have this conversation. I did have conversations about work and getting to the top through, you know, job and employment, but employ yourself. What is it that you want to do? And I'm trying to lead by example now by branching out on my own because it's good for the children. And they don't have to have that mindset that we had where, oh, we need to work for somebody to get to where we need to be. No, if that's what you believe, then that's what it's going to take for you to get there. But until you change your mindset and put on a new mindset and say, hey, I can make it, but there's nothing wrong with you working. And, you know, if you have goals and stuff you want to do, you know, you do it to get to where you need to be. But at the same time, we need to change the story, you know, tell our kids a new story. And that's what I'm doing. Like, what is it that you want to do? I would love to see you, you know, own your own company. I would love to see you create your own services and products. People work for you. Then that way you can have the freedom that you want. You don't have to worry about waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning if you don't want to. You don't have to worry about telling somebody you don't feel like working. You know what I'm saying? You're not feeling good. Your kid's not feeling well. You know, all of that stuff. You don't have to worry about that because you are your own boss. And guess what? You can provide and help other, provide services and help other people as well. So I really love this topic because I think we do have to. That's something that's very needed, especially in our community, because we're so divided. You know, we're used to, we're programmed. The thing that we have to do for other people or work for other people to make a living. That's the dream. Like, yeah, go work for them and make it to the top. You know, that's success. But success is being free. That's right. What success is. So that's my 2 cents.
Appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. Sister, hey, it's what you're saying, I mean, again, it aligns with what I'm saying as far as breaking that cycle of being, you know, people have to often have a tendency to point the finger at people that have been incarcerated and saying that they've been institutionalized. No, we all been institutionalized. to a certain capacity. We, you know what I'm saying, we bought into so many different things that, again, man had, man told us, and we did. And we see now that, I mean, it's a different game. And to a lot of people out there, this is one conversation, Jim, that I passed to a lady on my episode 9 podcast of the Talking Tip podcast that I host normally, is she did a 23-year bid in prison for murder. And, you know, she was complaining about how unfair the system is to people that are felons when they come out. And I said, well, I mean, are you guys focused on trying to become business owners, or are you just so caught up and hell-bent in into going back into the system that you've been indoctrinated into that you got to go back and get a job and stay on probation as opposed to coming out, focusing on getting a CDL or getting something, a contractor's licensing, or getting even as far as your cosmetology license that will put you in position to control your own time and to be your own boss. I mean, and people may look at some of those positions like, it's your options at this point, unfortunately, with some of the marks that you have against you when you coming out of the prison system being noted as a felon. And so if you don't want to be drug tested consistently, you don't want to be scrutinized or have people consistently pulling your card talking about, you know, are you a felon on the application? What's the reason you went to jail? And you got to keep reliving that every time you go out, you know, seeking employment. What better way to change those odds than by trying to focus on becoming an entrepreneur, which you have that ability to? It doesn't really make a difference whether you have a degree or not. It's so many people that look down on certain positions that I concentrate on because I'm out in these streets. And, you know, I see so many different people from different ethnicity groups, but I'm gonna concentrate on white people, and I'm going to concentrate on Latinos. Key people, because these are some of the most unique people that I run across, because I'm like, damn, how you came up with this job? And I say that in the sense where, at any given day, and I just put it in term like this, where I express to my wife, now I see a white boy pulling all kind of shit on the back of their truck every damn. I'm not talking about tractor trailers. I'm talking about a regular pulley on the back of an F-150 or whatever the case may be. And I'm like, what do you use that for? What are you going to dig this? And I'm just saying, in my mind, right? As we are, we got to look at high school being the pinnacle, you know what I'm saying, before we even think about college. But we look at high school as the pinnacle. There's nobody telling us that you can go out and buy you a little truck, pickup truck, get you a dolly, and go find something to go dig up some trees in the bushes, contract yourself with the state, contract yourself with the county, contract yourself with federal contracts, and there ain't nobody telling us that. So I say this, how they get the plug. Now, in retrospect, again, you live in California, so
I live in North Carolina now. I just moved from California this past year.
Okay, so but I'm just saying, just living in California, there's a large population of Latinos that live there, and the same thing. And I see them towing three cars. Even if they ain't towing cars on a platform, they got them Jones linked up at the bumpers, pulling them back to back, you know, some of these distressed vehicles. And I'm looking at them, but I'm looking at them with respect, and I'm saying, damn. These people still making a way. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They making a way for themselves. They're finding a way to where they've cut out the middleman, and that's the best way to put it. They've cut the middleman out. They found a lane for themselves, and they're focused on creating generational wealth, and they're also creating family businesses that can go on and continue and or be passed down in the event that that's something that the children want to get into over time. So I'm going to pause for the cause because we're running up that clock. Hey, brother Alfred, go ahead and hit us with the advertisements, and then when we come back, we'll pass the mic to brother Kofi.
They doing too much, bro, cut them off. Cut them off, cut them off. They talking too much, just cut them off. Cut them off, cut them off. They doing too much, bro, cut them off. Cut them off, cut them off. They talking too much, just cut them off. Cut them off, cut them off. They doing too much, bro, cut them off. Cut them off, cut them off. They talking too much, just cut them off. Cut them off, cut them off. They doing too much, bro, cut them off. Cut them off. Cut them off, they talking too much, just cut them off. Yo, look how they move when they maneuver. Watch. Pounce on the youngins like a cougar. Call you a loser, mixing cow manure. Plotting your sleep like Freddy Krueger. Got the Ruger, straight shooter. Blat, blat, crew is cold and crude. Ebenezer screws, robbing screws. Look how they do you, they wanna outdo you. Subdue you, or brutal, belittle you. Beware of the snake, bend them in your cake. Daggers and handshakes, double face like, what's his face? Join the game of ace, kiss you like Judas. Disciple, disciple, their rival. Sabotage your survival, homicidal murder. Egregious, they don't agree, different degrees. Agree to disagree, totally. Hell yeah. They total the relationship. Don't give a damn, get the money fam. You gotta go ham with the hammer. Straight bananas, raise up your standards now. Work it like Missy Misdemeanor. Better demeanor, a little meaner. Get a different team, count the green with high esteem, nah, I mean. Cut them off, cut them off. They doing too much, bro, cut them off. Cut them off, cut them off. They talking too much, just cut them off. Cut them off, cut them off. They doing too much, bro, cut them off. Cut them off, cut them off. They talking too much, just cut them off. Cut them off, cut them off. They doing too much, bro, cut them off. Cut them off. Cut them off, they talking too much, just cut them off. Cut them off, cut them off. They doing too much, bro, cut them off. Cut them off, cut them off. They talking too much, just cut them off. Revenge is the venue they wanna end you. Twist up your menu, there's something in you that they don't like, full of spite. Playing nice, hidden knife. People trifling, this unloyal life. Judases, keep your guard, disregard.
Don't bother,
play a different card now. Go hard in the paint like Walker, block a plan. Don't reacquaint with fake saints. Remember your mindset, don't be upset. You gotta be like Offset. They do anything for clout. They do anything for clout. They'll try to cloud you, clown you, drown you. You up, mess you up,
trap.
You gotta step up, keep your head up. Continue to prosper, recognize imposters on the rosters.
Wolves,
they'll try to flock and cock block. Copycats with different acts, trying to ask and X you out.
What?
Next thing they'll ask you out, what are they about? You gotta doubt, they want you out, keep watch. Cut them off, cut them off. They doing too much, bro, cut them off. Cut them off, cut them off. They talking too much, just cut them off. Cut them off, cut them off. They doing too much, bro, cut them off. Cut them off, cut them off. They talking too much, just cut them off. Cut them off, cut them off. They doing too much, bro, cut them off. Cut them off, cut them off. They talking too much, just cut them off. Cut them off, cut them off. They doing too much, bro, cut them off. Cut them off, cut them off. They talking too much, just cut them off.
Hey, we back from the intermission. That's what's up.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Cut them off. That's what's up.
Cut them off, though, right?
Before I start up again, I want to send a special rest in peace to the poet Mums. A lot of people know him as Squabble on the HBO show Oz. But he was a highly respected African-American poet from Bronx, New York. He passed away today. Seems like it was from heartbreak. He lost his mom on the 26th of last year. But, yeah, so back to the show. We ended to win it. We're talking about expanding and excelling beyond you know, being a product of your environment. Brother Alpha, before I transition over, do we got any questions coming in that I need to answer before we let Brother Kofi take over?
And I want to see Brother Kofi comes in, because I might not be able to get in once he starts sitting.
All right. You got it. You got
y'all
it.
Y'all make me want to read a book. I read books, but, hey, I'm going to have to expand what I already read. So, but anyway, go on, Brother Alfred.
Okay. All right. We do have a couple questions out here.
Okay.
Well, we had one big question. I didn't know how to answer this, but this is specifically for Brother Kofi. Brother Kofi, one of your fans have asked, how do you get your hair to look so cool the way you do? They really wanted to know. He said, I'm a big fan of yours, long time, and this came in through an email from us, and he said, I'm a big fan of your show. I appreciate you. But I really want to know, how do you get your hair to look so unique?
Okay. I don't want to go too far away from what the subject matter is. So I'll just say, like, this, first of all, thank you for the appreciation. And I always say this to people when they do the whole fan thing. I'm not really, you know, just be part of the family. We need you to be fam, F-A-M, not fan, F-A-N, because fanatics are different than people that are part of the family. So always don't ever get to the point to where you just follow somebody blindly, and I'll just leave it at that. But I appreciate the support, as always. They know what I mean if they listen to our lot of our stuff. But as far as the hair, just like everybody else, if you let your hair grow, you got an imprint that's your own, you know. So mine just kind of grows, and I let it lock a little bit, but I kind of pull the locks apart before they get, you know, too hard to pull apart, and I just let it grow. I don't really have any special thing. I every once in a while, I might put like shea butter or something in there, something like that, or something natural, even to clean it, like some lemon and stuff like that. But I just let it grow.
All right. We got a question for Sister Sophia from, I believe, what's his name? Is Strongman 25. He wants to know, he said, when will you be making your next appearance coming up, or anything he can come out to see you live?
Well, right now, before COVID happened, I had a lot of stuff planned to go live, but now I do things virtually. So right now I just launched a new series, a live series actually called Off Limits. So I would love for you to join that. And what Off Limits is an interactive series where you have the opportunity to hop on live with me. It streams to YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitch, and Restream for now. And you can hop on live with me, put your two cents in, but we discuss topics that are considered taboo, hush-hush, what you shouldn't be talking about in public, at least to a lot of people. So we talk about that because these are things regarding relationships. So these are things that we do naturally. So I want to discuss them naturally, give people new perspective, make them, you know, more aware, and make it comfortable for people to become uncomfortable. So it's a hot series right now. Just recently launched it. Please hit me up on either on YouTube or Facebook, youtube.com/SophiaAlexandria or facebook.com/YourSoDamnAmazing. Hit me up with a message, and I'll get you the link and all of that to join. And it's Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 10 p.m. EST.
Okay. I got one last question. This one is for Brother Tone. It's coming and just came in now. It's from Sweetwater, 16Y. Am I saying that right? Y. And they want to know, you talk about finance and have you been in the finance business for a long time? Where do you usually get your expertise or your resource of information?
All right. Finance, well, I ran a bank and managed over a $30 million portfolio for a decade before I retired.
Wow.
Or left that industry. And, you know, I was had to stay FDIC knowledgeable. So now I got my own assets, and obviously I self-manage those within my portfolio through trading. And trading is speculative at the end of the day. You know, you're putting your money into something, stocks, crypto, et cetera, hoping that the value appreciates. And so I say to anyone, there's just a variety of different people that extend information on a daily basis. You got the Bloomberg Report. You have Yahoo Finance. You have white sheets on the other paperwork that I was talking to you about last week with cryptocurrency. So, I'm not going to say that I'm a guru, but I'm definitely knowledgeable in regards to managing assets, portfolios, and I'm not poor by any means. So I think I pretty much hold my own in regards to self-management, in regards to maintaining and sustaining for my family.
Okay. Now, this one is for everybody. This is a group. Is since you all been on the Power Hour Squad, do you feel you're more connected to the community? I feel like you're gaining more of information. What do you like being about being part of the Power Hour Squad? Now, this is from my daughter. So she's 7 years old, and she wanted to ask this question.
I'm going to
defer
to Sophia first. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I think for me, definitely for sure, I feel more connected with the community. And also, I feel that just being on a part of the Powerhouse Squad, it challenges me. It inspires me, actually, because listening to everyone's perspective, I read books now. I read different types of books. I'm usually reading books about self-development, self-love, you know, relationships, things like that. And after hearing my brother speak, it makes me want to expand, you know, what I'm already reading. Branch out. It's okay to, you know, read some other stuff, too. And so I feel like for me, I'm actually growing in the process and learning. So I'm all about growing. I try to look at every experience as something that I can take from it, and definitely the community is what I can take from it, the love of the community and the helping the community and actually learning something that maybe I wasn't taught before or I knew nothing about. So I think being a part of this team has inspired me to be more than what I was.
Right.
All right.
So,
let me give it a twirl here. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, I was going to just say, you know, I don't know. I just feel like the world's right here in front of me. When I remember, it was just me and Kofi. We were just piling around, just talking, bouncing stuff off each other, and, you know, and basically just hanging out almost. And I remember when Tone came on and he said, man, you know what, we need to do something a little different, man. It sounded like, you know, it's separate. I was like, okay. And he came up with the name Powerhouse Squad. I said, I'm like, okay, so let's get this in. I said, all right, so I ran with it, and it been like, and then I just said, okay, we got to grow this thing. And I honestly didn't have any clue how big this thing is blowing up. When me and Kofi started, we were doing what, I think, was it 400, Kofi, a day? We were doing like 400 people listening. Now, since the Powerhouse Squad has really formulated, we are up to 1,044 a day, and that's listening to the whole station, and we are getting messages. I'm getting messages from everywhere. On the streets, I get people on the streets that, you know, that I introduced the app to. They listen, and then somebody actually tried to ask me for my autograph. I was like, yeah, really funny. But, you know, it's sort of like, you know, it's serious. And, you know, we are drawing in, we're changing things. Like, I live in the state of Maine, and the population of black people here when I first came here was like a black dot on a giant white piece of paper. Now, since we've been doing, I hear more and more people listening to us, and they are moving around this area, and there's more and more black people here. Excuse me. So, you know, I just feel it's actually helped me and stabilized me, and I can feel like, you know, we can talk to each other, and it's like a family. I actually have a new saying, Breakfast Club who?
Nice. That's what's up.
That's amazing.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I'm gonna catch that alley-oop, man. You know, Maine is a beautiful place, man. And my sister actually lives up in Maine. She relocated up there because it's a hot market in regards to food, which I was unaware of. She's in the Portland area out there. And I've been connected to Maine, 6 degrees of separation, for a long time when I was working for a financial company who pretty much was number one in regards to responsible for the taxes in the state of Maine and Delaware, which was formerly MBNA, which was acquired by Bank of America. working for them, you know, I learned a lot, heard some different terms, been up to Bangor, Maine, got familiar with hearing people say, oh, that's wicked cool, that's wicked hot all the time. yeah, man, Maine, and for everyone listening, man, minorities all around, man, listen, man, break out your shells, man, get out your neighborhoods, stop being so closed-minded in the sense that you can't grow beyond where you came up from. I found a lot of my success came from moving around, albeit with a company, over time. Where I've moved to the Georgia area, I've moved to the Maryland area, and found much more success than where I was living at. Because at the end of the day, you get comfortable, man. You get comfortable to going back and hanging out with the same people that you came up with, and to measure yourself as an individual. If everybody's at the same level that you were at when you graduated high school 10, 15, 20 years ago, my guy, more than likely, that's where you're gonna be at too. You know what I mean? So you gotta measure. Mm-hmm. You gotta measure yourself in regards to the company that you keep. And on that note, Powerhouse Squad, what has it done for me lately? Like Janet say, a lot. You know, listening to Brother Kofi, for the most part, having a different introspective of a person who is really centered, seems to be more centered and detached from a lot of the fugazi, the fake stuff that we all embrace, you know, materialism, and that's in all facets of materialism. I'm not really going to go down the line, but just in materialism. And then so what that does is it makes you start looking at yourself, you know, being a part of fraternity. You know, some people may have heard, you know, divested of all materials and precious metals and things of that nature. If you participate in certain, I hate to say this, but rituals and functions of fraternities, which I am a part of, I'm not going to shy away from that. But listening to Brother Kofi and specifically helped me shed a lot of the materialism, fake stuff that you know, I was kind of sort of still holding on to, you know, trying to live the rat race of being an American, living the American dream and chasing a vision that wasn't necessarily my vision. You know what I'm saying? It was the ideology of what some people think that you should strive for as an American, but he made me look at myself and identify with being more human, focus on the human side of what you need, you know, in regards to foundation in your home, set for your kids, set for your wife, you know, being real with yourself and breaking the mental bondage of you know, falling for a lot of the paganism and the things that are embraced in society as a whole. Now, I haven't converted to anything in particular. It just, like I said, it's just unlearning a lot of different things and cutting those habits, cutting them off, so per se, and just helping me internalize a little more to try to be more self-focused in my quest to be the best person that I could be for my family. That's all I got to say. Kofi.
Wow.
Wake up.
That's awesome.
Wake up, Kofi.
He ain't asleep.
I know he ain't asleep.
I mean, I'm just listening.
Now, we all know what Kofi, like I said before, Kofi's the brother in the back room in the dark shadows, leaning on the wall, watching everything.
Yeah, he's going to have something to say. He has something to say.
He'll say something, you know. We love you, Kofi.
Even when he ain't got nothing to say, he got something to say.
Yeah. So, yeah, Kofi, Brother Kofi, I mean, when you and I started, we came up on this. I said, hey, Kofi, man, I'd like you to come on my little show. And I never forget that day. I said that I was watching, I was listening to this, and man, this brother's deep. Then I said, okay, let me go to one of these classes. And I said, you know what? Let me go and get this brother. I got to have this brother come on the radio show. I said, we got to do this radio thing. And from that day on, man, I'm honestly right now, it through thick and thin, it's been like, it was like, okay, I don't know who the hell this brother came from. And then I started saying, you know what? I know who he is. And I'm not saying like Elijah Muhammad died, Matt Farah Muhammad. No, I'm not thinking about like that crazy. I'm thinking more of the line, well, this man is the embodiment of the mind thought of inspiration of this generation in his own format, in his own way. And it's not of an idol terminology mm-hmm. or anything. It's inspiration. And he does it, you know, humbly and without trying to say, see what I did? See what I did? No, he's not doing that. He's just been like one of the brothers that you I didn't think about it like that, or I didn't know it could be like that, or this way I should mm-hmm. think. And when it comes to finance or different aspects or anything, you know that Kofi's there. He got that 1% different thought view where he can say, hey, did you think of it about it this way? Did you mm-hmm. did you look at it from this point of view? And I just completely, you know, I completely, I say, wow, you know, and that's what it is. So my thing is like, okay, I'm ready to do this, you know.
I'm sorry. I'm sitting here. Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't catch the last part. I'm sitting here going around with family and everything, trying to get a clear space. But I was just listening to you guys and thinking about, you know, what's been what's been going on. Just as far as the effect of the show on myself, though, if I could just break there for a second. I'm not even sure if that was the question that was asked. I'm having signal issues. I'm out here off the grid a little bit. But, you know, just as far as me and what I've gotten
It's what I gotten out of life. I'll say this, and let me even apologize to everybody and even to my fellow co-hosts right now, because I've been somewhat MIA off and on, and it's just because I had a lot going on in life and in growing and the stuff we're doing, you know. When we say we want this stuff, we've been talking about this a lot with our community people that, you know, heavy is the head that wears the crown. You know, you ask for some stuff, we'll be ready, because it's going to require a lot of your life and your family's life and stuff. And so, you know, just kind of very busy and stuff. But I'll say it's definitely been a pleasure. It was kind of an honor just to be invited to the radio show and to just even give a little background. This is stuff that I was doing, you know, when I was on the street. You know, I was the type of guy, homeless, but you see him, you know, I literally would go grab bags of clothes, you know, pack them up and, you know, take them out to this, you know, take them out while I'm sitting there homeless. Sometimes, you know, literally acting like I'm paying to get on the bus, and I'm not paying on the bus. I'm sitting there with tables and bags and stuff so I can go out and get free clothes while I don't know where I'm going to lay my head, you know. Like, so even from that, to see it to go to where, you know, going to, you know, marrying my lovely wife and her being able to help me kind of get back on track and giving me time to, you know, become what I needed to become, and then going from that to, you know, her suggesting, let's, you know, why don't you go on YouTube, you got a powerful message, you do this stuff at churches, you speak in a lot of different people's lives and stuff, why don't you try this or whatever, and then literally being excited that if two people would subscribe to a channel for the longest, then nine, and then I can even remember the numbers, like it was two, it was nine, then I thought I was really doing something at nine, but then I was blown when I hit 26, and I got 52, and then, you know, from there, like all of a sudden one day, on other platforms, it started growing, but then shadow banning started happening. So at one point, I had to think to myself, am I still going to be the same person, even if I can't get the numbers? Because even though a lot of people say, well, you're not about the numbers, when you go from, you know, having tens of thousands of people at a time to all of a sudden they cut it down to where you can't get two to three people to find you, you know, it does some stuff. But to go from there to having it happen again on TikTok, where we, you know, literally had, you know, tens of thousands and then had to start all over again. And now this last year, it's really blown up to where literally people are coming together, giving stuff towards community, letting us have access to land. And this has been part of that progression. You know, I wish I could just separate it only, but really it's been part of a progression overall. And even with stuff that's been happening with as of late and even needing to be better as far as, you know, trying to be a kind of being thrust into something where I really kind of have to be a patriarchal type person, not just for my immediate family, but for my family. You know, it's been a lot, but to see the growth in myself and really just the growth in community. This has been a part of it. Brother Alfred first invited me and then saying, hey, you know what, I don't really know if I necessarily do this by myself. Do you want to try it out and see what happens? And then doing a couple test runs and then Brother Tone coming. You know, and then just being, you know, three amigos for a minute and then having the sister come on and, you know, having a female perspective to where, you know, we were literally stopping shows sometimes just if a woman would come on and call in. You know, now we have a sister that's there full time. And so it's just been a pleasure to be a part of and to partake in. I don't know if there's anything profound out of that or anything, but as far as just that and even some of the stuff behind the scenes that some people don't know, especially with Brother Alfred and myself being able to encourage each other at different times, or even Brother Alfred, you know, making sure and me doing vice versa, you know, because both of us are workaholics. And so kind of, you know, checking in with each other and making sure the other person's not working themselves to death, which is something I appreciate because I have a mindset of work and not stop. So, you know, just a lot of things. And like I said, you know, I apologize for being a little MIA and stuff. There have been some stuff going on. I'm slowly getting back in position. I'm even going to have to, for our shows, have to start recording some of them to put there because I won't be able to do them live for a minute. But, you know, I'm just thankful that there is, I won't even say hope, because hope is kind of a lost, gets kind of lost in the ether sometimes because everybody depends on hope. But, you know, the fact that I'm seeing people start to put action into place, and I think what we have to do, there's this thing we're doing on Sunday. We're talking about, like, the making of a husband, what is a husband made out of and stuff. And one of the things that as I was studying and meditating and praying and, you know, even fasting a little bit and some stuff and even getting ready, we're doing, you know, Passover on Saturday. So it's been a lot. But I've been trying to set aside time to think about it, and I was showing something that was powerful where a lot of people want to follow. And the problem is that a lot of people want to follow, but they want to follow, but nobody's actually in a position to lead them. And, you know, you don't lead people, you lead the environment, but nobody has an environment set up to be led in. So you got a lot of people that are waiting to follow Sophia, waiting to follow Tone, waiting to follow Alfred, waiting to follow myself, and or anybody, for that matter. They're just waiting for anybody, and nobody's set up an environment to allow them to come in and have a position for themselves, to allow them to come in, you know, even with church stuff, when I'm talking to people that are in the church and stuff still, and they'll have these conversations and stuff, and I'll start talking to them about finance, and they don't, it's almost like it's a foreign subject matter. Now, you get a bunch of it from your people, but it's like they don't even think about investing or doing things like that. So somebody who wants to have something, you know, they're just told tired, but they don't have an environment where it's like, okay, if you're going to give us 10%, we should teach you how to invest at least 10% in yourself, right? Like, we don't have an environment where it is. And so, you know, I see places like this as an opportunity for us to do those things, to allow people to have an environment where they can, you know, a lot of people want to be led, but there's no environment. And then a lot of people want to come into the environment, but before that, they got to be loved. And let's be real, a lot of our people don't feel loved, not even just from other situations, which, by the way, is not something that's not normal, but we're talking even within our own community, you know, loving ourselves, even loving ourselves individually, or loving the next black man and loving the next black woman and loving your spouse, loving your children. We don't feel loved because we keep going by somebody else's standard, like Brother Tone and Brother Sophia were saying. And then before we can feel loved, you got to be able to teach me something, because some people, they need to be taught what love is. And love is the action, you know. So before I start trying to give you actions, I've got to teach you to accept the actions. If you're in a relationship with somebody who grew up and their father wasn't in their life and they were abused and they had bad relationships and they've been in poverty and all this stuff, like, and they've had people who've been getting over on them their whole lives, now all of a sudden here you come trying to love somebody, you got to teach them what that is. Because that was rejected, or even if they accept it a little bit, they won't be able to do much with it because they've never been loved before. So you even got to teach them certain things. So the teaching is where my heart always is, and I'm somebody who loves to be taught, but I'm also somebody who loves to teach. And I realize that's one of the things that's not only caused the stuff that I'm a part of outside of this, but us to grow, is people are looking to be taught, and once you teach them, then they'll accept your love. Once you don't accept your love, then they'll be able to, you know, be in your environment and, you know, be led through that environment. And once that's the case, you know, then they'll follow no matter what. And they'll actually help you. They'll bring stuff to the table. And there's a lot of brothers and sisters that have so many gifts and talents that they can't bring them to the table. So I feel like that's why I said, even though there's so many things that I could say just individually between this, and so many times I enjoy hearing different perspectives and even being challenged on different things or whatever. Like, for me, it's a holistic thing. And so for me, this has been a great place. You know, I don't care about numbers or anything, because I don't despise small beginnings. So, you know, no matter what the number is, or even if we were only reaching three people, if three people are getting constant and consistent teaching and love and environment, and therefore they have something to follow or to look up to. You know, this has been a great point, and I like coming on here too, because accountability is something that we utilize. You know, so even just when Sister Sophia speaks, as I was saying earlier, if she speaks, the fact that it's a sister speaking versus, you know, brother speaking, if she says something and says, "I agree," you know, that makes it so more credible, and it shows community. And these are four different people, four different families, four different lifestyles, four different belief systems, but we make the main thing, and we come together. So I'm just grateful to be able to be a participant in it, and appreciative of it. And like I said, I'm trying to get some stuff together, but I, you know, even if you don't hear me, at least for, you know, a couple, hopefully no more than more, a few more weeks, but, you know, if you don't hear me for a little bit off and on, or I'm off and on for a few more weeks, just know that I'm always here, and I'm always, you know, cheering from the background, even if I'm not, if you don't hear my voice. And I appreciate you guys, those who are on the show, and also those who are listening. We're all family, and we're all trying to unite. So let's go get it.
Doubt, no doubt. That's what's up. That's what's up, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. So, yeah. So, hey, being a product of your environment, escaping the traps. escaping the pitfalls. Sister Kelsey, I know you said you had something else that you wanted to give us too. I was going to circle back around to you. But I on my lasting words right now, in regards to the subject content, is listen, man, just embrace life for what it is. Do things differently. Understand there's nothing that's textbook, but also know that whatever you dream, you can and believe, if you put it on paper and write it as a goal, it will manifest. It will manifest. So that's all I'm going to say in regards to expanding beyond, you know, being a product of your environment, because trust me, I lived the life of 10 kings already, man, and I say that wholeheartedly. I've done things that I've never thought I would ever be able to do, you know, as far as living, traveling, going beyond expectations. And, you know, a lot of people only saw me doing that if I was a professional athlete, thinking at one point that I would make the NFL. And I was never disappointed when I did it, because I didn't try hard enough to become an athlete. You know, I always wanted to be a decent human that lived a great life, you know, and focused on family, which was one of the major things that I lacked, you know, as I was coming up. You know, I came from a dysfunctional family, as most of us have, you know, because of finances, because of drugs, because of whatever was going on at the time. It just helped push me more by reading people's stories, man, reading magnificent stories. As you say, you read a lot, Sister Toby. I read myself mostly audiobooks now. But, again, hearing people's perspective, hearing things that they've done, listening to what they've accomplished, that's the energy that drives me beyond that. And it's been more insightful and impactful on my life, way more than sitting in any college classroom ever did for me, to be honest with you. And real people's stories matter. Real people's stories, you know, they make the difference. So I'm going to fall back, and I'm going to let you close us out for the day.
All right, everybody, just want to give a shout-out right here going again. You listen to the Powerhouse Squad on NSF Radio. We are live and effective, definitely direct, and keeping it real 100, always on the ones and twos field. You know what? I just want to give a shout-out to our people. Also giving out some love out to those up in Australia. We heard about the flooding which has been going on out there. We're sorry to go and be going through that and let you know. We, the Powerhouse Squad, do love you, and we do support you, and we know that you've been listening to the Powerhouse Squad out here, and our numbers have been going up. And for all those cheese and crumpets, brothers and sisters up in the UK and Ireland, especially in Ireland, oh, my God, happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. And to all our female listeners, we want to say happy Women's Month. We want to say it's not just a day, it's a month to honor all women. We want to tell you, say that we love and respect you all, no matter color, class, or creed. We are proud to have you listen to us on NSF Radio, where we're trying to develop a good man to come to your house if you don't have one. Trust me. And we try to make sure that keeping real for you on that day, and the one and one, it makes two. And you know what? We're going to make that two so you can develop a third, and then maybe a fourth and a fifth. And you know what? Now you got a tree foundation stronger than ever. My name is Brother Alpha. We are keeping out right here for you, doing it what we need to do, keeping it always on. But listen, don't forget this Sunday. You know what's coming on this Sunday.
If it's played in the South, it's played on Country on Sunday.
That country, baby, that's my style. Hawaii's new hit country.
Played on country on Sunday.
Hawaii's
NSF Radio. NSF Radio.
Sweet Miss Betty likes to sing off key in the pew behind me. That's what I love about Sunday. Sing along.
choir sway. Every verse of Amazing Grace.
Yo, it's Country Lou here. If it's played in the South, it's played on Country on Sundays on NSF Radio.
Call it Paul Bubba Fox.
Wash up with the good Lord leads you. No matter how far that highway goes, an old dirt road to get you home.
Come on.
You can see it in their eye when they try to lie. You'd a bullet hole and a stop sign kind. That I'm right there with you. Put your drink club high for my country folk.
Hey.
My country folk.
Hey. I'm out here on a thousand.
Yo, it's Country Lou here. If it's played in the South, it's played on Country on Sundays on NSF Radio.
All right. 11 minutes past the game, ready to close out, get ready to go home. Guess what? You know what's going on. You know the Powerhouse Squad, what we do. We always keep it at real 100. Oh, by the way, we just want to let you know, the newest, hottest gear for the summer is out. Just go to NSFRadioFans.com and get your latest gear. And check this out. All you got to do for your first time order, you'll get 50% off on your first order. All you got to do is enter the code, new customer, at the end of your borders, that's new customer, and you will get 50% off on your first order. So get the latest gear, whether it's a Sister Sophia Powerhouse Squad shirt, or Brother Tone Powerhouse Squad shirt, or Brother Kofi shirt right there. Or don't get your Kofi gear for Kofi Speaks. Get your latest gear right there for you right here, man. My name is Brother Alfred. This has been the Powerhouse Squad, and we are signing up.
You know what time it is.
It's the Powerhouse Squad. The Powerhouse Squad. It's the radio.
The Powerhouse Squad.
The wisdom has left the house.
Tone Robbins.
Live and direct, man.
Kofi Afuore.
Video. I am your host, Kofi Afuore.
And Brother Al.
Hey, what's up?
You know, it's not just the wisdom. It's the basis of understanding of the subject.
The newest member to the Powerhouse Squad.
Sophia Alexandria.
The Power Squad has gone home. See you, folks.